The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:55 a.m. Stuart Beasley, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and James Millman will be the team in the studio, and a very good day to look forward to as well, with Hennessy Day at Newbury. We've also got Fighting Fifth Day at Newcastle. We've got Bangor and Toaster alongside that. We finish the day with all-weather action at Wolverhampton. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
I'm good, thanks, Mark. Really looking forward to Saturday's action. Big day at Newbury, the Hennessy Gold Cup. And, of course, a big day in the North East. And
yes,
it's not all about United. It's about the Fighting Fifth tomorrow at Gosforth Park.
Yes. We'll look forward to that in just a moment, Craig. But a little bit of news to talk about before we get to that. And the big news is that both Sprinter Sakura and Simon Sig are likely to miss the engagements that they're expected to go for the first time, obviously, since the injuries. So, bit of a blow for Nicky Henderson.
It is. It's a massive blow, Mark. Simon Sig, obviously, we're all looking forward to his return, and he'd been talked up as a possible contender for the King George this year. You know, that track and trip looked to be ideal for him from what we've seen so far. So, it's a big blow, and, you know, Sprinter Sakura needs no introduction, really. We know how good he is. If he's on his game, there's not the 2 mile chaser in the country can get close to him. So it's a massive, massive blow, but, you know, it opens the door for other yards and other horses to take centre stage. And, you know, the Queen Mother Cup, you know, obviously would be dominated by Sprinter Sakura if he was fit and well, but, you know, that suddenly becomes wide open, and we've obviously got doubts surrounding last year's winner as well with injury. So it could be interesting, and there's a lot of talk of whether the 2 mile novices could find an easier option in the Queen Mother Champion Chase than actually the Arkle this year. So there's a lot of water to pass under the bridge, but, you know, you don't want to see the stars of the National Hunt game spending too much time on the sidelines, and horses like Simon Sig and Sprinter Sakura are a huge, huge miss.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see them again at some point in the future. When they've had injuries like this, Craig, and they're out for such a long time, do you ever think you see the best of them again afterwards?
There's always that doubt, Mark. There's always that doubt. Some never come back and some respond really well. You know, Fingal Bay is a case in point, and how well he's come back. But Simon Sig's been off a while now. I wouldn't have much doubt about Sprinter Sakura, because that wasn't like a physical injury he suffered. So, he had problems with his heart, which hopefully will be sorted, but there's always a doubt. You're just always worried until they come back on the track, and sometimes after a break they can produce their best on the first start back, and then they don't go on from there. So it will be interesting, but the main thing is that hopefully they return sooner rather than later.
Yeah, hopefully so. Anything else in the news, Craig, before I move on to a superb Saturday?
Not a lot, really, Mark. No. Obviously, just the Willie Mullins. Been a lot of talk regarding Vatua and Undeso, who crashed out yesterday, which was a shame. You never like to see the good horses take a fall like that. So, that was a... still, basically, we didn't really learn a lot. And for me, I think Vatua, he's a future champion chaser, so I just don't envisage any other route than the Arkle. I think he will win a champion chase in 16 or 18 months' time, whenever it may be. So I don't see them stepping him up to 2.5 and coming back the following year. I think despite these stable companion falling yesterday, I think he will remain on target for the Arkle.
Do you think he'll definitely go for the Arkle?
I do, yeah.
You don't think he'll go for the Queen Mother champion chase?
No, I think the only other option really for me would be, if anything happened for him, he may switch back to hurdles to become a champion hurdle contender. But, you know, the fall yesterday of Undesoy, you know, they could be tempted to restore some confidence by bringing him back to hurdles after a fall. So there's always this debate, you know. Well, still a good 4.5 months off,
Cheltenham, exactly,
and it will rumble on, Mark, and no one will know, and I'm sure Willie Mullins will have a few surprises up his sleeves for all the people trying to second guess him, including myself.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's move on to Saturday then. good Saturday coming up. We've got Hennessy Day at Newbury and Fighting Fifth Day at Newcastle, and Craig's going to give us his best bets in those races.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Saturday. We'll start up at Newcastle, going through them in chronological order. And the 205 is the first race we look at. This is the Fighting Fifth Hurdle, which is a grade one over 2 miles. Six of them in the lineup. We do have betting on site as well. And Irving heads the market at 4-5. 11-4 for Arctic Fire. Aurora d'Estraval, 100-30. 14s for Sea Lord. Swaledale Lad is 50s. And 500-1 should Volcanic Jack spring. It will be quite an upset, but it's been. People have said it's not well. They're saying it's not a Grade One standard race. Craig, what's your thoughts with that?
I don't think there is, Mark. It's possible. There's one or two horses could still progress and become proven in Grade One company, but the highest rated of these this year is Arctic Fire, rated 150.
Yeah.
Now that mark falls way below what is required basically to win a normal renewal of this Grade One Fighting Fifth Hurdle. You know, it has lost some of its quality. Been a lot of talk that the introduction of the race at Haydock 7 days ago has played a part in that, but something certainly needs to be worked out, because this is not a great renewal of the Fighting Fifth, which is a big shame, because it is the flagship race for the national hunt season at Gosforth Park.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, My Tent and Yours won the race last year, rated 160, and there's nothing near that in this, is there? But something has to win the race, Craig, and which one would it be?
I like the filly at the bottom. Fillies, just looking back at the last 10 years, I don't know how many have actually tried to win it, Mark, but there's no winners amongst them there. But John Quinn has an interest in filly here, 4-year-old. Aurora d'Estraval, who really impressed on her comeback at Weatherby last time. She had displayed some promise in juvenile hurdles last year, and she was expected to improve again over the summer and come back a much better horse, and that certainly looked the case with the way she went about her business at Weatherby. Absolutely bolting up. It was a poorish listed race, but I think she's well worth chancing up into this company, and she's also proven on heavy ground. It's soft at the moment, but with a miserable, gloomy day outside once again, there's every chance that conditions will worsen ahead of this race, Mark, on Saturday. So Aurora d'Estraval would definitely have big claims. We're talking, you know, a possible Grade 1 performers coming from this, and Irvin is probably the one, an Arctic Fire, that do still have time on their side to progress. But Irvin comes here on the back of a real nasty fall at the final flight of hurdles at Wincanton. He was just looming up and challenging Purple Bay on that occasion when he took off just a little too soon and never had his landing gear out. And it took a while before he regained back to his feet on that occasion. It's sure to have knocked his confidence. Soft ground certainly won't be a problem with the way he moves, and he's won on soft ground, but there's always that doubt coming into this race on the back of such a nasty fall. An Arctic Fire who reappeared in Ireland, beaten by Little King Robin, who was some way behind Hurricane Fly on his subsequent start. He's got a little bit more improving to do. You know, I think the handicapper has him right on a mark of 150. I think that is a fair reaction of his ability at this stage of his career. And Sea Lord on 148 definitely needs to improve, and is likely to be better on a drier surface. So I think this is an excellent opportunity. I think, I'm sure John Quinn and Connections will be delighted the race is cut up. The ground conditions is going to be in a favour. There's no proven Grade 1 horses to beat here, and I think she's got an excellent chance.
Yeah. They had Cockney Sparrow in the renewal last year, finished second to My Tent Are Yours, and ended up running in the mares race. So I imagine that'll be the same plan with Aurora d'Estraval, won't it?
So. Yeah, I would think so. You know, they've gone close in last year's race. So Cockney Sparrow won an absolute cracking race, and the year before, of course, they won it with Countrywide Flame.
Yep.
So the yard have got a good recent record in the race, and let's hope that continues tomorrow with James Reeveley taking the ride.
Okay, Aurora d'Estraval then to win the Fighting Fifth Hurdle. The next race we're going to look at is the 240 at Newcastle, and this is the Rehearsal Chase, which is a listed handicap over 3 miles. We have nine of them in the lineup for this, Craig, and It's always quite a good race, isn't it?
It is, Mark. And in previous years, the class has came to the fore because the top weights have done really well. And in particular, Hey Big Spender,
yeah,
who, of course, won the race 12 months ago. And he also won it back in 2011.
Yeah.
So he's got some history here. And he shaped as good as ever at Aintree on his return.
Yeah.
I was there that day. Life for Reet, who also reopposes here today, was the only fit horse going into that race. Looking at the horse, the five runners in the paddock, Life for Reet looked the only one ready and fit to go to Aintree. But Hey Big Spender loomed up, absolutely cruising before blowing up close home. He ran an absolute identical race at Aintree as he did 12 months ago before coming on to Newcastle and winning the rehearsal chase. But he's now 11.
Yeah.
He's still on the same mark of 145, and he could be vulnerable to an improving younger horse. The one that fits the bill, hopefully, Mark, and I had burnt fingers as we watched the Paddy Power Gold Cup at Cheltenham with Indian Castle.
Yeah.
A horse I really like. Changed stables over the summer from Donald McCain to Ian Williams. His obviously first start was back at Cheltenham, but he raced on the unfavoured part of the track all the way around. Horses that raced over the 3 days there on the inside of the track definitely didn't run anywhere near the best. And that was the case with Indian Castle. He was bang there at the bottom of the hill, two out, and just fading as if obviously coming on for the run. I didn't actually get to see him in the paddock on that day, but when Ken came up to the press box, he said that Indian Castle would definitely improve for the run. So he should shape a lot fitter for his reappearance. And I think this is an excellent opportunity. He handles soft ground well. He'll stay this trip, no problem. I think he's a real promising horse. And he clocked a really quick time when he won the handicap chase at Cheltenham on trials day, beating Anacotti, who, of course, goes in the Hennessy. So this is an excellent opportunity for Indian Castle. I thought he possibly would have lined up at Newbury because I thought he was good enough to.
Yeah.
But connections have taken the easier option and sent him north to Newcastle, and I hope they're rewarded for doing so.
They put the cheek pieces on for the first time as well, which could help as well.
Yeah, cheek pieces for the first. I don't think he's ungenuine.
No.
Or me just sparking, you know, freshen him up a little.
Yeah.
Mark, but I don't think that he's been crying out. He's a real genuine horse. He jumps well and he stays well. He's off a mark of one. I mean, I'm a little bit disappointed the handicapper hasn't actually dropped him from 140 based on his last run, but he's still more than capable of winning off this mark.
Okay. Let's move on to the big race of the day then on Saturday, the 3 o'clock at Newbury, which is the Hennessy Gold Cup Chase, a grade three handicap over the extended 3.25 miles. Some pretty high profile winners in the past. Denman's won it a couple of times. I saw Bobsworth win this as well. And we've got a good renewal this year. Jack Adam heads the betting at 4-1. Smad plays 7s, 15-2 for Fingal Bay, 8-1 for Many Clouds, Rocky Creek 9s, 10s for the Druid's Nephew, 14-1 for Merry King, and then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. It's always a tricky race to work out, or a lot of the time it is, Craig, but which one do you like here?
Yeah, we had a quick preview of the race on Thursday evening, myself and Ross on air, and we was going back through previous winners of the race, Mark, and the majority, well, in fact, I think 9 of the last 10 winners all raced close to the pace. So I think it's significant that we're looking for a horse here that will be up there early, gets into a jumping rhythm, because, you know, if you're making mistakes in a big field handicap such as this, you're losing valuable ground against really good horses, and it definitely takes its toll. So we're looking for a horse here that will race up with the pace. Jack Adam is 4-1 favourite.
Yeah.
He's short on experience. He's got stamina to prove. Five-year-olds have got an absolute appalling record in the race. He wouldn't be certainly on the shortlist, Mark. The one I like is Fingal Bay.
Okay.
He comes back to fences after returning last year over hurdles, but didn't he return in fine form? He beat If in Doubt at Exeter. That was a real gritty performance after a layoff, and then he had to dig really deep. I mean, I thought there's no way he could have fought back in the Perth Temps final at Cheltenham, but Richard Johnson certainly got the best out of him. There was 23 runners that day, so the experience of such a big field handicap, albeit over hurdles, will not be lost on Fingal Bay. And he's been targeted for this race since we last seen him at Punchestown. And you look back to the last time we've seen him over fences, obviously the time before that nasty incident when he ran out with Exeter, he raced at Cheltenham. And he gave Dynast a really good race on that occasion. He went down by 4.5 lengths. Dynast is now rated 166, yep, which makes Fingal Bay look really well treated on his return to fences on a mark of 153. He jumped really well over fences in his three novice starts, and I think he fits the bill for a real informed stable. They've had a lot of success in the big races so far this season, and I think there could be another one on Saturday with Fingal Bay.
Okay, Fingal Bay then, the selection for Craig in the Hennessy. Let's have a quick summary, Craig, if you'll spin us through your thoughts for Saturday one more time.
Yeah, fighting fifth hurdle at Newcastle, which is due off at 2:05. John Quinn's filly, Aura Destreval, would be the selection. In the rehearsal chase, which follows the big race, 2:40, we're going for Indian Castle. And the big race of the day at Newbury, the 3 o'clock, the Hennessy Gold Cup, Fingal Bay for Hobbs and Johnson.
Good work. Thank you very much, Craig. Good luck and enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you, Mark.
A superb Saturday in store then. You'll hear it here on Racing Radio from 11:55 a.m. Stuart Beasley, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and James Millman will be in the studio. It's Hennessy Day at Newbury. We have the Fighting Fifth Hurdle at Newcastle. Banger and Toaster are the other two meetings in the afternoon. And we finish with Wolverhampton. Make sure you don't miss any of that. It's all live from 11:55. And thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.